I'm sitting across from my friend Mac. People know you as Healthy Little Peach, but your name is actually Ashley McCrary.
It is. Isn't that strange?
Welcome.
I got a lot of names. I'm so happy to be here, Terry. Thank you.
What the thing I like the most is it's Whole 30 week, both on, you know, Whole 30 Takeover and on Friday Favorites. And so 2 days ago I was like, oh, you know, it's not gonna make sense, the podcast, not to have a Whole 30 person. So then I was like, who are some of my favorite Whole 30 people? And I texted you and said, is it possible you'd get on a plane on Wednesday and come see me in a day and a half? And you were like, you better believe it. And and we're rolling.
Oh, we're rolling. And it was an adventure to get here because I don't travel by myself a lot, you know.
Is this your first time flying alone?
It was my first time, but it was so worth it. I had so much fun. I did spill eggs and salsa on the plane, which was a great time.
And normally your children might do that, for example.
Oh, yes, but I'm the child when I travel alone. But it was great. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. First time in Chicago, too. Can you believe it?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you're here. And I love that you took the leap of faith and said yes. That's one of the things love about you.
Thank you.
And I think that's like one way that we're always connected. Let's tell people, how did we meet?
Well, I've always been a Terry fan. Terry's awesome. She always has been. But I was watching her on a Whole30 Recipe Takeover, and I had in my mind, you know what? I want to do this. I want to do what Terry does. She inspires people. I've got a story to tell. I'd love to do it. And I was doing it a little bit, but I didn't know which direction to go. So I just took a leap and said, you know what? I'm going to message Terry and I'm going to see what happens. And within a minute, I'm not kidding you, Terry, within 1 minute, I see the little, you know, the typing lines underneath. You're typing me back. How can I help? What can I do? Let me tell you this. Can you hop on a call? And you were so generous and so helpful and so supportive. So that's kind of where we met, and I think that our friendship's just grown from there, and you've been the absolute best. You have helped me to get to that next step and to take blogging seriously and full-time. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, my gosh. What a pleasure. I do remember you reaching out, and then I remember being really excited about your Whole30 Takeover, and you reached out way in advance because mm-hmm. Like me, you're a planner. You're not like, you know, I remember talking to someone, it was like, yeah, I'm doing my Whole30 Takeover. Like, it was like, you know, in a couple of days and they hadn't started or something. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a real opportunity. So you do, you know, take the most of it. And you were the same. You were way in advance and you're really thinking about your posts and what you're going to do.
Right. I think I was 5 months out.
I think we were pretty
far out. So, and you helped me plan that first takeover and you gave me your tips and your tricks and it really did. I mean, I went from 8,000 to 40,000?
You did. It was so
exciting. It was insane. Yeah. It was an insane moment. And you were right there with me every step of the way. So that's where our story started.
Right.
And look at where we're at today.
It keeps going. First of all, we keep in touch. So
yes.
Regularly we check in.
Yes.
We support each other on the pages.
Absolutely.
And during the takeovers. I think that we use each other as to bounce off. What do you think of this? Mm-hmm. You know, I have certain things that I bring to it where I'm like, Ashley, this, you have things you bring to me and say,
right.
I think you should be doing this, that, and the other.
Just a big inspiration, though. You're so giving to others, and it just, the way, and I want people to understand that the way you are online is absolutely who you are, and that's so refreshing because sometimes, you know, you'll meet somebody and they're just the best online, and you're like, who is this person when you get face-to-face, and you're just so genuine and so kind, and I just love you.
Thank you, and I love being loved. Then I invited you to be on the book tour, and so
yes.
You came to Nashville
that
with your
awesome.
Husband,
mm-hmm.
and I got to have an in-conversation person. And I was like, oh, I absolutely want to have Ashley somewhere. And of course, we weren't, you know, necessarily going to be in your city. So then it was right. Like, well, you know, and you and I looked at the insights and say, well, where does it make the most sense for you to come? So you were perfect for Nashville. It was the most fun. And
well, thank you. And Joel's a big fan too, my husband, Joel. And he loved being a part of it. And coming with me. So thanks for having me again.
And you know, it's funny, we have just a couple days ago, we had our book event here. And a number of the Nashville crumbles, we actually have crumbles that mm-hmm. came from all over, but a bunch of the Nashville folks drove in for the event.
That's
so,
awesome.
Something about
Nashville's a good place.
It's special.
It is.
So you, among other things, I mean, I know that you're a blogger, and we're going to talk about Whole30, but I know that you've been a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and now you've had this change. So tell us what you were doing and what you're doing now.
Okay, well, I've taught school for about 10 years. I was a first grade teacher for 7 years, and then I transitioned to third grade, and I was a third grade teacher for 3 years. I have my master's in administration, my specialist in superintendency. So everything about me screams education, and I do love education. But I just, my heart was being tugged in a different direction and a more creative direction, and blogging was that for me. And I had a story to tell, you know, through my mental health struggles, through my weight struggles, through, you know, just real life. I feel like I had a story to tell, so I wanted to do that, and I thought blogging was the best way to do it. So we were coming home from a vacation, and I shot the idea to Joel, and he's like, do it. Just do it. So at that point, I think I had 300 followers on Instagram. And then when I really dove in and got started, I think I grew it to 8,000. And that was in probably 6 months. And then we're here 3 years later, and I'm at over 100,000. So it kind of took off, just the idea. And I think Instagram had a really good time to be in, mm-hmm. where you could go fast, right. go up fast. And I think that I hit that time
right.
just right. So just an avenue to be creative and to share my story, a platform to show other people who've maybe struggled with mental health or their weight, just to show that there's other people out there that has the same struggles and that we can come together and support each other. So I started this, and I didn't really think it would turn into a career, but here we are 3 years later, May. In this past May, I decided, you know, I've got God's pulling at my heart, tugging at my heart. You need to go for it. You just need to do it. So I left teaching, and I'm blogging full time.
So let me ask you, how was that transition? Because I think often in a transition, we're like, oh, my God, it's going to be the greatest thing. It's going to be perfect. And what has the transition been like?
Well, you know, I was counting down the days mm-hmm. until start date. And I had my girls this summer because, you know, we're going on a teacher schedule. So I've got my girls this summer. And I said, you know what, my hard start date's in August. We're going to start in August, and we're going to, like, right when the kids go back to school, I'm busting it out. This is what I'm going to do. I'm working by myself. I'm a very social person, as you know. I like to be around people. So that first week when I started full time, I cried a lot. There was a lot of tears. And I kind of was taken down a little bit, just knocked a notch down, because, you know, in your mind, you build things up that it's going to be this lovely, beautiful transition. And then you're like, oh, crap, what's going on? You know, I'm scared. Did I make the right decision? And I think a lot of people need to understand that when you make changes, there's going to be bitter parts, but you just got to push through. And that's what I did. I set a schedule. I called you, and you talked me down, or not talked me down, but you helped me through that, set a schedule. And after about a week, I started feeling a lot better. But I think it's important to realize that everything's not going to be rainbows and sunshine in the beginning. It's going to take some work, and it's going to take some transition time.
And it is transitioning. As much as you love teaching, you were so great at it.
Thank
you. Know, you.
You
really made a difference. You were all set up to do it, and you think it's only going to be fabulous. And, of course, that is what life is. You just have those moments. You know, I have those moments, too, where it's like, I'm feeling sad today. And then it's like I have to check in with myself and go, where did that thread start? I have to go backwards and go, how did that happen?
Right.
You know,
right.
And what, you know, what can I do about it? One thing I did in the beginning that really helped me, especially when I was on my own, and at that point maybe Zach was working part-time, was that I set up a lunch date. And really, when I say lunch, it's not just about having lunch, but it's seeing another blogger every week. So it was like reaching out to somebody in the community, somebody who's blogging, somebody to say, can we get together? Can we just get together for coffee? And then meet other people
right.
and just create a community. And then in the beginning, I set up blogger events. So it would be like 20 of the bloggers that live in Chicago. I'd go to Public and Quality Meet and say, I've got this great group of bloggers. We'd love to come and have like a meetup there just with each other. Would you know, maybe
just to chat about what's going on.
Yeah, or just like give us lunch or do whatever. And then, of course, they get 20 people coming in who have followers. And so what it was really great was that it was just it started to create a community for me. And we need to have people. Now, we know that in our business, there are people like you and I who are super sharing and open. And there are folks that are the opposite. You
right.
know? But I think you wade your way through and you find it. I think that was one of the number one things that helped me in the beginning.
Right. And I have the motto that everybody can sit at my table. I want to see people succeed. I want women to empower other women and to help each other. And I get, oh my gosh, I get so many emails a week. Can you help me? Can you help me? And I give as much as I can.
Right.
But I think time comes in there too. Like I'm working for myself right now. I don't have another team member,
yes.
but I am going to still
yes.
Zach
yeah.
and Lori,
yeah.
if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you can only do so much too. You have to, like you said, the once a week, that's great. But when you're finding it that you're getting so many messages. Can you help me? Can you help me? You can only be stretched so thin. Do you agree?
Well, absolutely. And just to be clear, these weren't people coming to me to get advice for blogging. This was more like, here's another blogger, Windy City Fairy.
Gotcha.
You know, let's get together. Like, come over, let's have lunch. Or, oh, you know, perfect. Malik Teal. I mean, mm-hmm. where it was just other people.
Creatives.
Yes, other
together.
Creatives, okay. Where it's more like, for me, creating colleagues.
Love it.
And creating support and
that's
all that.
That's a great idea.
And the truth is, no, I wouldn't have once a week to get together with people who are, you know, starting
mentoring
a blog.
Mentoring almost,
right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I love mentoring. I think mentoring is important. And when you're, you know, in my 50s, so there's a whole lot of things that have happened to this point where people have helped me, where people have extended grace. So when I can, in the ways that I can, you know, and a lot of times people show up and they don't really want your advice. They act like they want your advice. And here's the thing about me. Here's a topic. Unsolicited advice. Anyone who knows, I give some unsolicited advice. So my thing is, like, first of all, don't actually ask me if you don't want my opinion, yeah. because I'm going to tell you.
Oh, yeah. And I've asked Terry some things before, and she straight shoots me. Yeah. I mean, she's a straight shooter, and I love it. I mean, it always helps me. So, yeah.
So Whole30, how did you get there? You know, tell me a little bit. I know that you were a gal who, I mean, you look amazing. I know you've lost weight. You've kept it off. And that is, you know, a revelation and a miracle. So anyways, just tell me a little bit about the
journey.
Okay,
well, my journey with my weight has always been a struggle from a child, you know, even to today. I mean, yeah. I can't say that I'm 100% cured of my struggles in the way that I think, because it's a toxic way of thinking, and it's really hard to shut that part of your mind off. But I struggled with my weight really my whole life. It started like in fourth grade when I realized that society judges you based on the way you look. Before that, I was really happy. I would come home and eat a Lunchable after school and drink Coca-Cola and watch Saved by the Bell, and I was just happy as a lark. I was counting down the days until Friday, until where my mama was barbecuing out. I just love food. Food was my love language as a kid. My grandmother was an amazing cook. My mom was a phenomenal cook. So food just made me happy, and through eating that food, I did get a little chunky, but I was always just the sweetest person, I thought. I always had a good heart for people, and I always wanted to give and to be kind, but I found the harsh reality that that's not enough. You got to look a certain way, too. So I was torn down by kids, and I was torn down by somebody close to me in my life that just kind of degraded the way I looked pretty much my whole life. So fast forward to high school and college, I struggled with eating disorders. I was little, and then I would get really, really big, and then I'd go back to small, and then it just was this non-stop cycle of binge eat, binge eat, binge eat, and I was exhausted. And, you know, it didn't matter what I did. I would literally have to stop eating to lose weight. That's the only way I could get my weight off. And I knew that there was something wrong, but I didn't ever go to the doctor until we started trying to have kids, Joel, my husband. We started trying to have kids in my mid-20s, and we couldn't get pregnant. And I just knew there's something wrong here. I've always struggled with this. There's got to be something wrong with my hormones, or there's got to be an answer to why I've always struggled with my weight, no matter what I did. So I went to my OB. He referred me to an endocrinologist, and I was diagnosed with PCOS. So with PCOS, it's a hormonal disorder. And with that, you can have insulin resistancy, and that's what I have. So my body does not use the sugar as energy. It doesn't fight. It doesn't use sugar in the proper way. So that often leads to, you know, no periods in a month. I mean, I went 2 years without having a period or ovulating. So it really messes with you. You can have hair on your face. There's different levels of PCOS, and I wouldn't say I had the worst, but I had a lot of the symptoms, one being that I couldn't get pregnant or could not get my weight off. So we figured out how to remedy that. We've got on some medication. We finally got pregnant. Well, after we had Eloise, and that was a miracle. I mean, because you know what's so funny about that is I didn't even have a period to get pregnant with Eloise. I wasn't even ovulating. I mean, I didn't know. So we were heartbroken thinking that we weren't pregnant, and we were actually 10 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's so wonderful.
And during that time, I was so big, but I was so happy. It was the first time I think that I've really ever been happy, and I didn't want to take this baby for granted and look in the mirror and say, oh, you're so fat, you're so gross, because I had this miracle baby. So I was just so happy. And throughout that 9 months, I was happy. I was so happy. But then after I had Eloise, I wouldn't say that I had postpartum depression. I had just had my normal depression. I've always lived with depression. So it was just that I had that year of happiness when I was pregnant. And then after I had her, I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, I realize now that society's not going to accept me because I look this way. So I had to figure out, okay, I know that an eating disorder is not the way to go with this. I have a little girl now and she's looking up to me. What can I do that's going to make me happy, not just right now to lose 30 pounds or 50 pounds, but what's going to make me happy in the long run and that's going to help me teach my daughter how to live healthy and my husband to live healthy? I'm the mother and I need to bring my family together instead of pushing them away because I hate myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So I did, you know, low carb, all of those different things. And then I finally researched Whole30 and I said, you know what? This looks like something that's really going to help me. I need to know what's been bothering me with my insulin and my sugar. I have to take medication still to this day for my sugar. So I wanted to do something that was really going to reset me and help me figure out what's going on with my body. So I did Whole30. And after that first month, I felt so good.
Yeah.
I felt amazing. But it wasn't just that I felt good physically, mentally. I was in the best mind space I've ever been around food. It was what's fueling me, what's making my body work the best, and not, oh, I can't have this today because I'm going to gain 10 pounds. It really taught me how to eat and how to understand the food that we eat can either make us better or can make us worse. So that was just kind of my aha moment. And I've done 18 rounds since
wow.
then. 18 rounds. And today, I feel like I've learned a lot through Whole30. So I'm really shooting to do one per year mm-hmm. because I don't want it to become like anything else.
And it's not supposed to be. No. It's not a lifestyle. It's a reset.
It's a reset.
It teaches you, you know, if you listen and you really do the introduction, what you need. And sometimes it takes more than one time or two times or three times to figure it out.
Absolutely.
But then you learn like, oh, these things are an issue for me. I mean, it's like I've realized, well, I mean, I'm gluten-free already, but like I realize corn is really a problem for me. Mm-hmm. Even when I eat corn, even if it's like summer fresh, it's not processed, it is really hard for me to digest. And you really learn. Like for me, if I have sheep's milk feta, I'm absolutely fine. It's
right.
not a problem.
Isn't it a great way to learn what your body can
really
tolerate?
Is.
So
yeah.
that just, it really just sets you up to live healthy all year round, every year. And if you're slipping, then, well, let's do another reset and let's
right.
figure out where we are. So Whole30, I've always said, saved me.
It really did. Yeah.
I mean, I think it saved my marriage. I think it saved me as a mother. I just think it saved me as a human because now I'm learning to accept myself. I'm
mm-hmm.
not there yet. It's a struggle, especially when I've had years of, and when I say somebody close to me, it was somebody very close to me, years of trauma in that way, that you're not good enough, you're not worthy of love, you're not pretty, you're fat. That really hurts a person. So it takes a lot of time to get in a really good mental state around food, and Whole30 has helped me so much. But I have to be careful not to get back in that, oh, well, I got to do a Whole30 this month
right.
because this. I have to really be strategic with it. I'm doing it once a year. I'm going to see, you know, what's affecting me and how can I get on a better track? How can I move forward?
And how did you end up becoming a Whole30 coach? Because I know, although you do Whole30 once a year, you help other people do Whole30 and you have all kinds of wonderful resources. How did you get into being a coach?
Well, I had done so many rounds and I was listening to Melissa on a podcast and she was saying that she was going to start this coaching program and I knew it was just going to be for me. I knew that if I could do this and struggle as much as I've struggled throughout the past, then I could help somebody else. So I got online and looked and it was $1,000. You know, it's $1,000 to...
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment. And you know what? That test is not easy.
That test is not easy.
Whoa. That test is hard, y'all. So...
Which I really love because it speaks to the integrity that Melissa
yes.
has, that the program has, in terms of if they're going to have coaches,
they
better know what they're doing.
That's right. So at the time, you know, we were just in transition, getting a house, doing all those things. So, you know, I didn't have $1,000 extra. I just had a baby, you know, so I didn't have $1,000. So the new Primal had come out with their scholarship. So I applied and I got it. And that was just a blessing in itself. So ever since then, I've just started the program. I renew it every year, doing things for the Whole30, resources, and I just love it. And what I really love about it, I love doing, you know, one-on-one. I don't do a lot anymore because I'm so busy, but I love just sharing my knowledge with our community.
Yeah,
just
I think
offering that.
For me, that's one of the best things, too. I became a Whole30 coach because in doing the book, I felt that having the credential, since the Whole30 endorsed book, mm-hmm. I felt like it was incumbent upon me to have that training. Yeah. And that it was necessary, and that I should actually give back to Whole30 in that way.
And you know, and you think you know a lot about Whole30, but when you go through the process, you learn so much.
And you realize you don't. It's like whatever you know,
yeah.
you know.
You learn so much.
You know, you don't know. So I don't do any coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, I at some point it'd be fun to do a large Whole30 group.
Right.
And this year it was fun to support some of our other coaches, like, you know, Stephanie at Cook mm-hmm. by Color and Jacob. And it was
Absolutely.
Really fun to support, you know, their groups. But I love the community.
Mm-hmm.
I love, you know, I feel like the OG of the coaches. And I love the coaches, and I love just like they're just really amazing people and really supporting each other.
Oh, they are. They're so sweet. And, you know, Autumn, who's over the coaches,
yes.
she's very knowledgeable and super sweet. So it's been a really nice journey, and I'm just lucky to be a part of it. So,
it's
yeah.
really been fun. And
it
I
has.
Love, you know, all the folks that we get to deal with Whole30 and, you know.
And Kristen
it's really been a
and
lot
Jen,
of fun.
They're sweeties.
Really, you know. Yeah. Shanna came to my house.
Oh,
and
yes.
She not only came to my house, but she was my Denver person who mm-hmm. was my in-conversation person. And I just love her. So one of the things that I love that you have is that Whole30 on a budget. I mean, I always think of you and, you know, I did a book with one of the Whole30 endorsed book. And I've often said, I think you guys should have Ashley do a book because your spin is a little different and you really are your girl that shops at Aldi. You've got your Whole30 on a budget. You have a tight budget. You keep it. And so tell me a little bit about that, Whole30 on a budget.
Well,
and I love the free resources that you've created for people.
Oh, well, thank you. I think Whole30 is viewed as it has to be expensive. It has to be organic. It has to be this and it has to be that. And really, it doesn't have to be any of those things. You can for sure eat gourmet on Whole30 if you would like. But if you're on a budget and you have a family, it's totally doable. I love Aldi. And a lot of people look at Aldi like, ooh, I'm too good to shop at Aldi. Well, I'm not too good to shop at Aldi. I will put my 25-cent quarter in that daggum cart and we will go shopping. Because it's, you know, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Aldi is a sister store to Trader Joe's. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
It is.
I don't happen to live near an Aldi.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. But Aldi, I mean, you can save hundreds of dollars on just your produce. They have fresh produce. Of course, it's Whole30. Fresh fruit, organic. You can get organic, but I don't really go, you know, all organic. I don't think that you have to, and I don't think that you have to do all grass-fed. But Aldi's has that option if you want to do that. And I also shop at Sam's. I buy bulk at Sam's. So it's totally doable. My motto is always writing down what your budget is and making it work. And I always go to my freezer before I go shopping. What do I have in here that I can make? Oh, I had some chili from last week that I froze. We can thaw that out and eat that. I make it work before I have to go back to the store.
Right. You could put it over a hamburger,
you
and
can,
now we got a chili
yes.
burger with a compliant pickle.
Yes, you can do. I mean, you can do a beautiful frittata. Mm-hmm. I always talk about my frittatas because it's so simple and you can eat it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Our favorite budget meal on Whole30 is chicken apple sausage, peppers and onions, cauliflower rice with some chili lime sauce, my chili lime sauce. It's amazing. And it's so filling. And when you're eating it, you're like, oh, this isn't Whole30. Well, it absolutely is. So it's totally doable. You can do it on any spectrum. You can do it on a budget or you can do it as a rich LA woman. Whatever you want to do, you can make it work.
Well, I love to send, you know, people to you because often people come and, you know,
Thank
they're
you
wondering,
too.
You know, how to do it on a budget. And I'm like, I got just the gal for you. And she's got a lot of good ideas. I love frittatas myself. I actually have one in the book and it's just loaded with everything. But it's like, you know, of course, eggs and it's got the coconut milk and then bacon. I have zucchini in it. And then
Yum.
On top to put a tomato confit.
Oh, Terry, that sounds amazing.
But I absolutely love frittatas and I love just putting everything. And I'm sort of that way with the breakfast stir fry.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of always fresh vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the other day I did a post about it. But it's just like getting all the vegetables, sauteing them up, you know, and then having some kind of compliant sausage, even crumbling that up. and then adding it all together. And
isn't
if you want to get crazy, you know, you'll do an egg on top. One of the things I was interested, I was working with, been working with a health coach. And one of the things that she got me to look at was just, you don't need to have two proteins at every meal. So where I would go, let me do a sausage and let me do an egg. She's like, just pick one protein each meal. You know, because I'm an overdoer.
Right.
You know, I've always, you know, struggled with my weight.
And you think protein, oh, it's good for you. I can't overdo it on protein, you know? But you can.
And the, one of her other things was put everything on a smaller plate. Mm-hmm. So it's like half vegetables, a quarter protein, and then, you know, let's say marinated onions, greens, and a magic elixir.
Mm, that sounds great.
You know.
But you know what I always say, don't you?
What?
Clean your house and make a frittata.
That's what you say.
It's so great.
Right.
Because if you have a clean space, you're going to have a better life, I feel like. If my space is clean and I have a frittata prepped for the week, what's much better than that? I don't know. Well, Joel, I mean, he's a great husband. I got him too. But I'm just saying, if you've got those two things, you got a lot.
One of the things I love about Whole30 is the increased energy you have. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, before you're doing it, you're coming home. After work, you're sitting on the couch. And we were talking about this yesterday in the kitchen with what are some of the great non-scale victories. But that extra energy and then really that you can clean your house. And the reality is when our space is put together and we're getting rid of extra stuff we don't need and we're passing things forward. And I don't know if my friend Kate calls it upcycling, you know, taking things. That I'm always like, who am I going to give this to that is going to use it?
Right.
You know, that all of that cleans up our space and, you know, certainly.
Gives you clarity for sure.
Certainly. So what about life after Whole30?
Well, you know, and I think you can get really caught up into, oh, I can't eat this because it's not Whole30. It must be bad. And I think that we have to stop that way of thinking. We have to look at food freedom as, well, I didn't eat dairy for 30 days because I wanted to see if it's going to react when I do the introduction. But that doesn't mean I can't have dairy for the rest of my life. Well, I mean, I am kind of dairy-free because of PCOS, but I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
So I think that we have to look at, well, is this something that I really want? How is it going to affect me? And is it worth it?
Right.
So for me, I am dairy-free, but I love cookie dough ice cream. Y'all, I love it. So, you know, once a month or so, if and I'm not scheduling it out to say, hey, I'm going to have cookie dough ice cream once a month, but on a Friday night or Saturday or even a Monday night, if I'm saying, hey, I would really like a cup of cookie dough ice cream. And then I ask myself again, do I really want that? Well, yes, I do. So I'm going to eat it and I'm going to enjoy every bite and I'm not going to make myself feel guilty. And I'm going to give myself some grace and not look at this as it's a bad food or a good food. It's just something I simply enjoy. And we have to start looking at life that way.
Yeah, and
it's hard. It's hard for me because of eating disorders and things in the past. But I found that I'm so much happier when I do that.
You know, I love, every, once a month I have gluten-free pasta. Roy makes the best pasta that you've ever had. So once a month or when we're, you know, staying at the ranch more, I have gluten-free pasta. And definitely somebody will show up and go, you know, that's not Whole30. I'd be like, yeah, you better believe it's not. Or like, you know, you posted that thing and that's not Whole30. It's like, here's the thing. Whole30 is a 30-day program.
Yeah.
So no one's living that every day all the time.
No, we're not supposed to. But people do look at us bloggers and like, oh, you had a beer last night?
Yeah.
Oh,
you had a brownie?
How dare you?
What the heck's wrong with you?
Oh, I'm going to definitely enjoy life. And I think that food has already played such a big role. If I can enjoy it in a way that's not going to depress me, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
and I think food freedom is a big thing. And if you've not read the book, I mean, I felt like it really helped me heal in my food problems.
Melissa Hartwig's Urbans.
Yes, it really put things in perspective about, you know, asking yourself, do I really want this or am I snacking because I'm bored? Because I used to snack stress, like I wouldn't eat or I would just eat too much. So we have to realize why are we eating and is it something that's going to make us feel good about ourselves?
Her book is amazing.
So good.
When we were on the book tour, a funny thing happened, which was that Lori and I said, okay, you know, we're really going to eat healthy because if we're eating sugar and stuff, I'm not going to be my best self.
No,
so I was like, I'm not going to drink on the book tour at all. And, you know, I'm not really a drinker. So that means I'm not having one glass of wine at night.
Right.
And I wanted my skin to look the best and we're not going to eat sugar. So we did along fine, I'd say halfway through, and then we get to a hotel in Houston, and we go to check in, and we realize they do not have a reservation. Now, for some reason, Zach has stayed behind in Dallas because he has family there, so Lori and I have gone ahead. Normally, Zach would now fix the situation. We get to the freaking hotel. We've arrived. And we're going to have one day off, and we're like so excited because we're going to lay in bed, and we're going to have rooms. They don't have a room. And on the counter, they had these large things of candy, like a giant jar of suckers and, you know, something else. And so immediately it's like I took two suckers. There was a couch. I went and sat down on the couch and I started eating the suckers. Anyways, we stopped after like maybe three.
Did you get a reservation?
It all worked out. Lori got up there. But Lori took a picture of me. And it's very funny. At some point, I'll show it to you. But anyways, it was just whatever. I just wanted to say that. So
it's hilarious. Because stress can target those things. It really can. Yeah.
And I feel like as much as we know, and it's, you know, it's like this last year I've worked hard at, you know, losing a little bit of weight. And, you know,
you look great.
And, you know, I lost 22 pounds. And, you know, but slowly. I mean, sometimes like a half a pound a week. Sometimes a quarter a pound a week, you know. And all of that. And the truth is, you know, I think my metabolism's like yours, where it's just like I've, you know, where it's like
it's shot sometimes.
Yes, yeah. It's just shot.
But I too, when you said you grabbed the suckers, sometimes we just need to do that.
Oh,
though.
I don't regret it at all.
Oh, sometimes and sometimes you don't even have to ask yourself, is this worth it? Sometimes you just have to do it for mental health.
I was like, we needed the sucker.
I need a burger sometimes.
And
you know?
We didn't know. Yeah. And then I said to Lori, I'm so glad I stopped, you know, mm-hmm. because it's the kind of thing it could have created a day, you know. But I think as much as we all know, it's just that you can still be doing great. And then all of a sudden you can have a week where you're not doing
great.
And when I have a week where I'm not doing great, it frightens me that it's like, oh my God, now every progress I made is going to be gone.
Right.
And then I have to figure out a way to button myself back in. I, you know, I'm gluten free. For me, that's important because when I'm eating gluten, first of all, I feel crazy. And second of all, I have stomach aches. There's something about gluten for me.
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. You know, so I, you know, remain gluten free. But, you know, like I went to New York and then it's like we ended up having desserts. And then all of a sudden I get back and I feel really off track and I feel, you know, that kind of addictive sort of feeling. And it takes me some days to say, you know what, this is okay. It's okay to feel this way. You're not going to lose all the ground that you've made and you can just, you know, relax into it. And, you know, for me, if I even create, I start doing a whole seven where it's just like I'm going to do, you know.
Absolutely. And those are great.
You know, it just gets me kind of buttoned back in. So what I want to know is what have you learned? What would what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Just to keep pushing, just what I've been doing. I mean, just to keep pushing and really to accept myself. It's taken me 33 years to even get to a point where I can look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm an okay gal. I'm okay. And in my 20s, man, I was just in such a dark place. It was such a dark time. And if you look back and I'm 80 pounds heavier, I'm still a really great person. And I wish I would have just accepted that part of my life and that chapter of my life, because not only would I have enjoyed it more, but my husband would have enjoyed me more. He, you know, there's nothing like walking in and seeing your significant other crying because they think they're fat.
Right.
And your husband thinks you're perfect, because Joel always told me I was perfect. It didn't matter if I'm, you know, 150 pounds or 200 pounds. It doesn't matter. He loves me. And I think that if I would have just sat back and enjoyed the ride, it would have been a little better. But I think I don't regret it, too, because it's got me here.
Right.
And it showed me what I want to show my daughter and both my daughters. I have two daughters now. So I don't know. I think just to accept yourself with where you are.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's the same thing. It would be just keep pushing. I mean, you're going to be okay. And I mean, I like this idea of I'm okay even when I don't feel like I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, it's like when Lucy went off to college and I wrote her this letter and said, at some point, someone's going to break your heart and you don't think you're going to make it through. But what I want you to know is that you are.
You absolutely will. It's going to make you stronger.
It really is. And we make it through. You know, I've lost both my parents. We've made it. I've been divorced. We've made it through, you know, we've all of us have made it through tough times. But, you know, I just think we keep pushing and, you know, find joy where we can.
Absolutely.
If you get those moments of joy and I feel, you know, I feel like I'm lucky to have found, you know, a significant love, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And going Roy. On 12 years. And
I
you
love
know,
Roy.
Going on 12 years and we still think we're teenagers. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. And I think that it's just so important to be able to share our experiences. I think it really does help people. I think people look at me and think I have it all together, but, you know, I absolutely don't. I've been through hell and back. I mean, I really have. But you come back, you come out on the other side in a good way. So you just got to keep pushing.
I love it. So where do people find you? You're on Instagram at Healthy Little Peach.
At Healthy Little Peach everywhere.
Yeah.
At Healthy Little Peach.
So it's your blog, your Instagram.
Pinterest,
okay.
Instagram, yeah. I share a lot of budget-friendly things. I share a lot of paleo, keto. My husband's been doing keto, so I do that. And just life. Very, very transparent, and I share a ton about my mental health, depression, eating disorders, all of it.
Yeah. Well, great. I know people should come over and find you. You're
well,
one of my favorites.
Terry.
And
you are my favorite. So
thanks for taking that leap of faith 48 hours ago. And I was like, can you get on a plane? And I love it. It's sort of like the Potter story, yeah. How I said to the Potter, can you come over right now? And like, you know, 12 days
absolutely.
Later,
absolutely, no
bowl.
Big deal. Yeah. You know, we got to say that. Yes more. That's what we talked about. It's the year of yes for me.
It's the year of yes. So that's it. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do. We have a great time here. And come over and find us for our Friday favorites on No Crumbs Left on the blog, Instagram, Facebook. We're having fun like this all the time.
Give her a 5-star rating, y'all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.